Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. O ye children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem, and blow the trumpet in Tekoa, and set up a sign of fire in Beth Haserem, for evil appeareth out of the north, and great destruction. I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. The shepherds with their flocks shall come unto her. They shall pitch their tents against her round about. They shall feed every one in his place. Prepare ye war against her. Arise, and let us go up at noon. Woe unto us, for the day goeth away, for the shadows of the evening are stretched out. Arise, and let us go by night, and let us destroy her palaces. For thus hath the Lord of hosts said, Hew ye down trees, and cast a mount against Jerusalem. This is the city to be visited. She is holy oppression in the midst of her. As a fountain casteth out her waters, so she casteth out her wickedness. Violence and spoil is heard in her. Before me continually is grief and wounds. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, They shall throughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach, and they have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days, and their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness, and from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not ashamed. They were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall, and at the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, We will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, We will not hearken. Therefore hear, O ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and the sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, a people cometh from the north country, and a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea. They ride upon horses set in array as men for war against thee, O daughter of Zion. We've heard the fame thereof. Our hands wax feeble. Anguish hath taken hold of us, and pain as of a woman in travail. Go not forth into the field, nor walk by the way, for the sword of the enemy and fear is on every side. O daughter of my people, gird thee with sackcloth and wallow thyself in ashes. Make thee mourning as for an only son, most bitter lamentation, for the spoiler shall suddenly come upon us. I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try their way. They are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron. They are all corruptors. The bellows are burned. The lead is consumed of the fire. The founder melteth in vain, for the wicked are not plucked away. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. May God add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His most holy word. Remember, a few weeks ago when we started Jeremiah, I told you we were in for a rough ride. This is one of those chapters where the Lord is speaking not peace. Actually, He is rebuking those who are speaking peace, because He is not speaking peace to them. All right, so the first section, verses 1 through 5, has some interesting historical and geographical allusions that I want you to understand. So notice, first of all, ye children of Benjamin. Now, why Benjamin? Why not Judah generally? Well, if you remember the layout of the southern kingdom, you remember that Simeon was kind of spread throughout the southern kingdom. Judah made up the bulk of the tribe. They were the tribe that had, they were the most populous in the southern kingdom. And then Benjamin was that small swath that was to the north and the east. A little bit to the north and east in Judah. So he's going to speak to Benjamin, because Benjamin is the northernmost tribe in the nation, the southern kingdom of Judah. And the reason that's going to be important is because destruction is going to come from the north. Seeing that destruction comes from the north, the Babylonians will come, they'll head to the west, and they'll enter into the land of promise at the northern section, and then they will drive southward. Since destruction comes from the north, the Lord speaks then through His prophet to the northernmost tribe. And then He says to them, blow a trumpet, notice, in Tekoa, and set a fire in Beth Haserem. And both of those places are well to the south in Judah. And so what's being said here is, they know already, when Nebuchadnezzar comes, where he's going to come from. He's going to come from the north. And so this makes sense to them, that the Lord would speak, first of all, to Benjamin and say, destruction is coming, and then set the fires and the signs up in the south so you can all gather as far south as you can get. And that's what's being said. That's the geographical allusion here that we're supposed to get. The second thing is astrological, right? Notice what it says. We're going to go up at noontime, right? We're going to go up at noontime for that destruction. In other words, when do most armies attack? Well, a lot of armies like to attack by stealth at night. Not going to be necessary here. They're going to come in at noontime, and they're going to strike at night. And so it'll be something that is very much wide open to them. They will not be resisted, in other words. The Lord is going to give much success there in verses 4 and 5. Then also notice what it says. I've likened Jerusalem to a comely woman, right? A comely and delicate woman. Now, we need to explain this one more than we do perhaps some of the other ones, because today, in all of our popular media and everything, we see, can I say it this way? Hopefully it's not too common. We see the ladies whooping up on the men, don't we? We see these strong and virile women beating up on guys all the time. That's what we see in our popular media culture. Well, that's not what it was in those days. I've likened Jerusalem to a comely and delicate woman. In other words, the Lord says, not only is she not the one that's going to whoop up, she's going to be beholden. She doesn't have any defense. She will have no defense when Nebuchadnezzar comes to town. She's going to be like these comely and delicate women standing out in front and trying to defend the city. That's what is meant by that. And then notice the other illusion that's brought. The shepherds with their flocks shall come unto her. They shall pitch their tents against her round about. They shall feed everyone in his place. Okay, so the shepherds, and the shepherds here are likened, that it's a metaphor for the ministers, the priests and the prophets. And what should they be doing at a time like that? They should be active. They should be warning. They should be crying out. But what do we see them doing instead? We see them very relaxed and feeding in their place. They're going to come up against Jerusalem. That is, that they're going to prophesy, as we'll see later in the chapter, peace when there is no peace. So her shepherds, that should be her friends, they will not be her friends. Rather, they will be her enemies by telling her that there is peace. And they will set themselves as if they were in safety against her. So that's what's being said in verses 1 through 5. So there are some very interesting allusions there. And then some of the uses that we make of them. Well, complacency is a great enemy of the people of God. Right? That's the first. The second use is, what is it the job of the minister to do? But we saw this when we were one book before in chapter 58 of Isaiah. How does chapter 58 verses 1 and 2 read? Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, show to my people their sins. Right? Don't come up alongside them and be comfortable to them when that's not what is supposed to happen. Okay, so some uses there out of 1 through 5. Now we come down to verses 6 through 8. First, the Lord turns to the armies that will come, and he says, cut down trees and cast a mount against Jerusalem. This is the city to be visited. She is holy oppression in the midst of her. As a fountain casteth out her water, so she casteth out her wickedness. Violence and spoil is heard in her before me continually, grief and wounds. Okay. So the Lord turns to the army that's coming, and he says, cast up a mount and destroy her. And then why she deserves that destruction. She's holy oppression and wounds. And then notice verse 8. Be instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. Even at this late date, when Jeremiah is writing, there is this call for repentance from the Lord. And can we just see in that the Lord continues those calls to repentance to his people, even when it's very late in the game, throughout all Scripture, throughout all history, the Lord calls upon his people to repent, no matter how long they have gone on in their sins, and no matter how many judgments he has prophesied against them. And I'll keep that discussion until we get to chapter 18. Okay, but in chapter 18, we're going to learn what the Lord means when he says he's going to judge somebody. All right, so let's keep going now for the sake of time. Verses 9 through 17 is the next set, the next section. And so what we have here, the Lord says, they shall glean. In this section, the Lord vindicates his own way of proceeding. He casts shame upon Jerusalem that they should have but refused to own. And so notice that the Lord calls Jerusalem in this section the remnant of Israel. You get what he means by that? That they had become idolaters like the northern kingdom was. They are like the remnant of Israel that will be judged. He speaks of those who hear the word of the prophet, and the description is something we want never to be said about ourselves, that the ear is uncircumcised, they cannot hearken. The word of the Lord is to them a reproach. There is no delight in it. May I say that even when the word of God corrects us, it is our duty to maintain delight toward the Lord. Right? So then the Lord speaks. What is it Is it just when a people will not hear? Is it just to keep speaking? Because the oppression is universal, so the destruction shall be. Even the leaders of the people, the prophets and the priests, have uncircumcised ears, and with their mouths they have confirmed the people in their violence by their refusal to condemn. So this is in keeping with the last verse of the last chapter, right? The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests bear rule by their means. My people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? They have made a nice circuit of it, haven't they? Right? They've wanted that teaching of falsehood. The prophets have given them that teaching of falsehood. They have received it and they love it. And what will be the end of that? And this is what is reiterated here then. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Nay, not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. You know, there's something to be said here, my dear brothers and sisters. I believe we'll touch on it this afternoon. Here's what I want you to understand from this. That when the Lord speaks to them that they had done things that were shameful, they had committed abomination. Notice that He speaks objectively. These are not subjective things. These are objective things. His word lays out what is abominable and what is not, what is acceptable and what is not. We hear, even in Christian churches today, we hear all kinds of things about, well, this is good for you, but not good for me. Good for some and not good for everyone. And there's this relativity that has entered in to the Christian church that does not belong in it. These are objective things. There are things that are truly abominable. And they are not abominable because they are abominable to us. They are abominable because they're abominable to the Lord. And His opinion is objective. It is the metaphysical, the being of things. That's what truth is. Period. All right, so then what does the Lord counsel them to do? Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Notice this is the Lord speaking to them through His prophet. But they said, we will not walk therein. Then the Lord said, I will set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. This is what we heard before, isn't it? That the culpability for their actions rests solely upon them. All right, then in the final section of the chapter, I have that as 18 through the end. Hear ye nations and know, O congregation, what is among them. Notice whenever the Lord in a context of judgment says, hear, O ye nations. That means He's getting ready to pronounce His sentence. Okay, this ought to perk our ears up. He's getting ready to pronounce His sentence. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened to my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. The fruit of their thoughts. Why? Because what is the law to do? What does the word have to do? It changes us in the inner man. But if we refuse to hearken and are not changed in the inner man, the Lord will bring the fruit of our thoughts upon us. We get what we have sought after. Right? Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, this is a fearful sentence for those who have not received the Lord, who have not called upon His name. So then, notice, after speaking to them about their thoughts, He will harangue them, He will accuse them with regard to their actions. What are all these sacrifices you're bringing me, these costly things? You're bringing sugar from afar, right? Sweet cane. From afar, you're bringing to me the merchandise, the incense from Sheba, sweet cane from a far country. Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. So the Lord says that He will lay stumbling blocks before this people. Wow, the Lord will do that? Yes. Yes, the Lord does that. Remember that the mercy of God, that window Sometimes for a people, for an individual, for a nation, for a family, for a church, that window does close after the Lord's long and self-vindicatory path of kindness and openness and offers of mercy and forgiveness. But remember those windows may not stay open forever. Now the Lord says, I'm casting stumbling blocks. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he says, I'll send strong delusion that they might believe a lie. Thus saith the Lord, behold, a people cometh from the north country, and a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea. They ride upon horses set in array for war against thee, O daughter of Zion. They won't stop until they've reached their destination. All right, so then in verses 24 through the end, we have heard the fame thereof, and our hands wax feeble. Anguish hath taken hold on us, and pain as of a woman in travail. So now what are they going to do? Well, they're going to use earthly means. They're going to stay, sheltered up. What does it say? They will go not forth into the field, nor walk by the way, for the sword of the enemy, and fear on every side. O daughter of my people, gird thee with sackcloth, wallow thyself in ashes, make thee mourning as for an only son. You see, they were all about using earthly means. The Lord tells them to use spiritual means, to repent. Oh, I know how we can fix this thing. We're going to be attacked. Okay, we're going to be attacked. Here's what we'll do. We'll build our defenses. We won't go outside. We'll do everything we can. We'll provide all of these earthly safes and props for us. What does the Lord say? What you ought to be doing is weeping and fasting and repenting and calling upon my name. Those are the means of your deliverance. Well, it's dramatic, isn't it? To see the difference between what the Lord prescribes and what the people are doing. All right, so then, O daughter of my people, gird thee with sackcloth, wallow thyself in ashes, make mournings for an only son. I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people. Now the Lord turns to his prophet. I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try their way. They are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. They're brass and iron. They're all corruptors. And then he goes on to say that they are reprobate silver, that all of the fire and sparks and difficulty that will come of your preaching, Jeremiah, will prove out that these are reprobate silver. There will be no refining in that fire. Instead, they will be cast off in the end. Well, I told you it was a tough chapter. Thus ends the reading then of Jeremiah chapter 6.